Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is presented by Corgi Spirits and Chai Pani Restaurant Group.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Kotayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every day in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my co-guests. And my guest today is very special, Shinji Fukuyo, the chief blender of Suntory, who has won multiple awards for excellent work to support the coveted brands, including Yamazaki, Hibiki, and Hakushu. The Japanese whiskey has become noticeably popular in the last several years. For example, Yamazaki is so popular that they are allocated to shops, bars, and restaurants in New York City, and then when they get the bottles, they are sold out right away. So today we'll discuss what is unique about Japanese whiskey, how Shinji blends a huge variety of whiskey to create a harmonious taste, how to drink Japanese whiskey, and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website as well as on iTunes and Stitcher as a podcast. So if you haven't, please go to iTunes and Stitcher and subscribe to Japan Eats. Also, if you have any ideas about topics of the show or show guests, please let us know. And you can email us at japaneats@heritageradionetwork.org or akikokatema.com. Now let's start our conversation with the chief blender, Shinji Fukuyo. Hello, Fukuyo-san. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Thank you. I'm Shinji Fukuyo, as introduced.
Okay, so first of all, where are you from and how did you get into the world of whiskey?
So actually, I'm very interested in whiskey after entering Suntory, after graduating university. But of course, even during university, I enjoyed whiskey very much.
Okay, and I assume you drank Scotch or Japanese whiskey? Or?
That time, Japanese whiskey was very popular in my university date. That's why mainly, and cheaper than Scotch whiskey
right.
as well.
Right. And you are the first chief blender of Suntory since the company started making whiskey in 1923. So how did you become a chief blender of Suntory? And did you need a special degree? Or?
Not yet. But when the first my job in Suntory was that I worked in Hakushu Distillery for 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah, at that time, some old blenders retired. So position was opened. Then I was recruited to the blender position.
So you must have shown your talent already.
We have to get the training for nosing and tasting. So maybe my score was always relatively high. Just another one reason.
So, like, you know, assuming that I joined the company with you, I could have taken the same test, but then you are the one who was picked as the chief blender.
Yeah, but not only that sort of, tasting talent, but experience also very important. So 5 to 3 years, I needed to nosing and tasting more than 100 samples a day.
Wow.
Yeah, end of the day, I could understand what kind of whiskey is good or not, something like that.
Right. Well, that's a very, like, you know, wine tasting, if I taste over 20, I can't recognize the differences. So, Amazing. So, so I heard that you spent some time in Scotland to study whiskey. Mm-hmm. So what was the experience like?
Yeah, and historically, Suntory sent a student to Scotland since late 1960s. So we have a very long history with Harry Watt University in Edinburgh.
Mm.
So my research was about whiskey fermentation at that time.
Mm.
But after that, I also moved to our subsidiary Scotch Whiskey Company.
Mm.
Then I learned a lot of Scotch industry about.
Mm. So it's almost like, you know, the culinary students study French. So you studied Scots based on...
Yes, like, and also I had a lot of friends who worked for Scotch industry. So it's another, you know, very good experience there.
Right. Wow. Okay, so at Suntory, so what kind of whiskey do you make? Is it only single malt?
No, mainly blended whiskey,
mm-hmm.
Scotch, and also single malt.
Mm.
And last year, we also single grain whiskey launched in Japanese market.
Mm, okay. Well, you want to get into more details about your whiskey. So,
right.
What is your job as the chief blender?
Chief blender. So I lead the blender team. So blender in charge of maintain that existing brands and also developing a new product. And also, in order to achieve that quality, we manage that inventory, whiskey inventory, whiskey stock as well.
Right. So, but you know, like, I mean, you have, you know, different unblended whiskeys,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you have to see, you know, that how mature it is,
all
so
right,
that kind
yes.
of.
Yes, at general food manufacturing, so maybe plant orders at the materials and according to manual, they can produce the product.
Mm.
But in the case of whiskey, for example, Yamazaki 12 years old, at least 12 years old before, so stock situation that year to year is different.
Mm.
That's why we have to change the recipe in order to achieve the same quality.
Mm.
That's why we need to understand the stock quality situation.
Right.
Then we know the test many samples
right.
every day, yes.
Mm. Okay, and the Suntory is known for having a much wider variety of whiskey to be blended.
Mm-hmm.
So how many do you have?
As a whiskey, kind of whiskey?
Mm-hmm. To be blended.
To be blended, it depends on the product because of the limited.
Oh,
version.
I mean, talking about the whole pool of, you know, like you have storage
mm-hmm.
and you have different kinds.
Ah, right. It's very difficult to count all of them. But, you know, we have only three distilleries, two for malts, two, one for grain.
Mm-hmm.
That's why each distillery can produce many kinds of whiskey.
Mm.
For example, so malted, we use a malted barley, but a different degree of peaty, smoky, and also different type of yeast, different type of fermenters, different size and shape of pot stills,
right.
Then cask.
Mm.
So such a combination produces at, let me say, 100 or something like that. Yeah.
Right, and probably you remember most of the...
Yes, of course, like, yeah.
Amazing. How do you do that? I mean, it's hard to imagine. Right. So the wide variety you have. So you said, you know, pot stills and different kinds of elements, but how many, you know, per whiskey? How many different kind of blends?
Yeah, so in general, maybe 15, 20 different whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to use, but it depends on the brand.
Mm-hmm.
In order to keep the same quality, I need that many kinds of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But a limited Javan one-off product, maybe 3-4 whiskey would be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the
right.
product.
Mm. So sounds like you have one standard
mm-hmm.
that you've been inherited.
Yeah.
And then depending on the market, do you adjust mm-hmm. the taste as well?
Yes, because always we pay attention to the consumer's favorite preferences.
Mm.
So For example, now in Japan, highball, which is mixed with soda whiskey, it's quite popular. So main our product is Kakubin. Taste and is shifting to that much better meeting that Kakubin highball style.
Why? Rather than just drinking neat. Interesting. Okay. And so how many tastings do you conduct per day? You go to work and then all day?
Per year, our team about 25 or 30,000 samples. Then divided that working days, probably average, let me say 100 a day.
Right. Wow. So one after another, you can just taste and discern and just determine this one is going to this whiskey. And
yes, yes, and determine that recipe, but not only for that, but also recognize that whiskey maturation progress for next years.
Right.
So many kind of tasting we have to do that.
Okay, and of course maturation changes depending on temperature and weather and everything.
Yes, yes. This year, for example, summer is not so hot. The same one year, but sometimes different maturation.
Right. Okay. And also I heard that you have to forecast the future demand of whiskey and manage the storage of unblended whiskey.
Yes. So
how do you do that?
It's quite difficult. Actually, our calendar, blended calendar, last 25 years and the next 25 years altogether, about 50 years. But nobody knows 10 years later which kind of whiskey is popular. But we need to some sort of forecast. Then we will decide next year how much whiskey will be distilled, which kind of whiskey casks we introduced. But in order to decide that, we need that such a long forecast. But never ever meet that.
Right. Yeah, just because Yamazaki is so popular, you cannot just bump up the production because you never know what's going to happen.
That's right. 12 years ago, we didn't know such kind of demand coming to us.
Right. Okay. And so let's talk about Japanese whiskey itself. So what is the history of Japanese whiskey?
Actually, our Suntory founder started construction of Yamazaki Distillery in 1923, more than 94 years ago. The next year, first distillation was held at Yamazaki.
So he's Mr. Shinjiro Tori.
Yes.
Right. So why did he start making whiskey?
Actually, his first success in blending was fortified wine. At that time, in early 18th century in Japan, authentic red wine was not accustomed to the Japanese palate. That's why he mixed with sweet and flavors. Looks like a port type wine. Then he got very success, but he would like to make whiskey. Then he started whiskey production in Japan.
That was probably very forward-minded. Nobody was trying. And
yeah. You know, for several years, you have to invest the money, but with no income generated because whiskey needed aging. So it's quite challenging, I think.
Right. Yeah. Very brave.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it sounds like basically the history of Japanese whiskey has been up until very recently. It's the history of Suntory, right? So, okay, and so there are different types of whiskeys, most notably Scotch, Irish, American, Canadian, so on. So then and now Japanese whiskey. So what are the characteristics of Japanese whiskey compared to those, you know, such as Scotch and bourbon?
Actually, whiskey making itself was inspired by Scotch whiskey. That's a process quite same as Scotch whiskey. But yes, and character and tastes a bit different from Scotch. Probably that nature, in this case, and the water and climate, at the distinct forces, environment, sorts of things that are different from Scotland. Then, as a result, our whiskey much more elegant and accelerate by wood maturation.
Mm. So just a basic question, but the Scotch whiskey and Japanese whiskey, what's the difference between Scotch and other whiskeys production method?
The water itself, water we are using for whiskey making is much more clear and very pure. But in the case of Scotland, the water contains much more organic compound and sometimes not clear, it's a brownish color. Mm. Such kind of water produce much strong and powerful spirits.
Mm.
But elegant and clean, pure water creates a much subtle spirits.
Mm. Right.
It's a different, for example.
Mm. So do you think, because Japanese water tend to be much softer than the one in Scotland and England?
Not only so such hardness, but also such different organic compound.
Mm, like more kind of, I don't know, the clay-based or something like that. It was really like soil management thing. Mm. Okay. And so how do you characterize, the taste, though? Like, is it... Yeah, I keep hearing that, this is whoever loves Japanese whiskey in this country.
Right.
It's just different. It's not Scotch, it's not bourbon. It's somewhere in between.
Yes. So originally we focused on domestic market only, then tried to make a better whiskey. But currently our whiskey, fortunately, welcome through the world.
Mm.
Then we try to find out how different between our whiskey to another.
Mm.
Probably our whiskey is subtle, refined, yet complex.
Mm. So subtle,
refined.
Right, subtle flavor, like nose to.
Yeah, as I said, soft, clean water creates so subtle, elegant, subtle spirit.
Mm.
Yet complex, probably accelerated maturation because Japanese summer is very, very hot and humid.
Mm.
And winter, very cold and dry.
Mm.
So such kind of dynamic changes accelerate wood maturation itself.
Mm.
So sometimes Yamazaki Sherry, Yamazaki Mizunara is very famous. Such kind of wood expression, probably a bit stronger than Scotland.
Mm. Right, because the humidity.
And the high temperature and the high humid summertime and dry cold winter.
Right.
So that changes quite distinct for seasons.
Mm. Right. And one thing, we didn't mention earlier, but you have a wide variety of blended whiskies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard that there's so many other distilleries in Scotland, but in case of Suntory, you have three distilleries,
yes,
like, so.
Yeah, so originally it was disadvantage for us because we need a lot of whiskeys, but only three distilleries.
Mm.
Then we tried to create different type of whiskey in single distillery.
Mm.
So now it changed into that advantage because some whiskey blender need can be developed by ourselves.
Mm, right. So it's kind of a vertical integration, quality control 100%.
Yeah, from start and the final blend, yes.
Mm, right. Okay. And also I read something about your unique facility. So you use three different combinations of pot stills, and mix and match of sizes and shapes of to produce different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you have three different types of oak, which I think we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
So American, Spanish, and Japanese Mizunara.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the you import the barley from Scotland to control the smokiness?
Yeah, malted barley, yes.
Right. So that's a very different, unique, detailed...
Yes, in a single distillery, different type of the barley, different shape of bottle. Yes, quite unique to ourselves.
Right. But still, I know that Suntory insists whiskey should be spelled as W-H-I-S-K-E-Y, like Scotland.
Not without E.
Without the E. So that's the spirit of Scotch.
We are inspired by Scotch whiskey, originally, yes.
Okay, so let's take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the best way to taste Japanese whiskey. So please stay with us.
This episode is presented by Corgi Spirits. Housed at Jersey City's first and only distillery, Corgi Spirits meticulously crafts small-batch, ultra-premium gins with wonderfully unique botanical blends. Their brilliant spirits are suited for drinking on their own or in making cocktails that are refined yet playful, much like the dogs after which the brand is named. Every ounce of Corgi's handcrafted products shows their commitment to the pursuit of spirits supremacy, pairing flavor with flavor for the ultimate alchemical combination. And because Corgi Spirits love dogs as much as they appreciate exceptional drinks, a portion of profits from every bottle of Corgi is donated to local dog and animal rescue organizations. Learn more about their mission to craft a better breed of spirits while helping save animals by visiting corgispirits.com. This episode is also sponsored by Chai Pani Restaurant Group. From Bombay to Buncombe and Asheville to Atlanta, Chai Pani has extended the love of food, culinary experience, and storytelling to the Southeast. Founded by Marwan and Molly Irani, Chai Pani Restaurant Group includes two locations of Chai Pani, plus MG Road Bar and Lounge, Badawala, and Buxton Hall Barbecue. Learn more about Chai Pani and watch their documentary series, Cutting Chai, at chaipanirestaurantgroup.com. That's C-H-A-I-P-A-N-I, restaurantgroup.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Needs, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Shinji Fukuyo, the chief blender of Suntory, who has won multiple awards for his excellent work to support the coveted brands like Yamazaki, Hibiki, and Hakushu. So I understand that type of cask affects the flavor of whiskey a lot. Mm-hmm. And I heard that you use different casks, including American and sherry cask, mm-hmm. and the Mizunara, which is very unique in Japan. So what is Mizunara, and how do you describe the flavor of it?
Okay, and yes, Mizunara flavor is famous for a very spicy note. Looks mm-hmm. like sandalwood or incense aromas.
Mm.
Very spicy. But and also Mizunara wood create a very creamy and coconut sweetness as well.
Mm.
Such a combination is quite complicated and very characteristics as well.
Okay, and I heard it's very hard to grow, and it doesn't grow straight.
Yes,
conveniently made for in the barrels.
Yeah, Japan is a very mountainous country. That's why it is very difficult to find that just grow straight Mizunara.
Mm.
So to make a cask, we need that, let me say, 27, 28 inch diameter, enough. But it takes more than 150 years.
Wow.
It's slow.
Mm. And I also heard that Mizunara is very porous, so it's not ideal to make barrels too.
Barrels, yes. And easy to whisk into the wood grains, mm-hmm. and easy to leak out.
Right.
So that technique to making cask is required very much.
Right, to tighten it.
Yeah.
Mm. So, and usually I heard that's why you have to blend other woods to make it work as a...
Yeah, but, you know, the reason of introduction of Mizunara wood, so during World War II and after that, it was very difficult to import cask from abroad.
Mm.
We had to create the cask from domestic wood.
Mm.
Then Mizunara usage started.
Right.
90s, maybe 30s, 40s, something like that.
Mm. Wow, so it was out of necessity. Yeah. And it turned out it was great to get flavors. Yeah, but compared to, you know, the European oak, it's more like, you know, like dried fruits or some, you know, candied peels, that kind of thing. So it's quite lighter than that. An American oak, is, people say it's almost like a coconut or vanilla.
Vanilla, yes.
Right? Hazelnuts, butterscotch, that kind of thing. So it's very different.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. And I heard that you are working on new product.
Oh, yes. That's why I'm in New York today. And beginning of October, we are launching a new product, Yamazaki Mizunara, 18 years old, 2017 version.
So, what kind of flavor is it?
All right. And at least 18 years old, but Mizunara character will develop for very, very long years. So actually, that product included more than 40 years old whiskey as well.
Wow.
In order to enjoy that the spiciness of Mizunara maturation.
Wow. So when it says it's going to be available in the US? So soon, sometime?
Yes. And this time we launched that only one, I'm not enough or not, but 5,000 bottles to the world.
Okay. So it's available, I heard it's the beginning of October?
Yes.
Okay. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you blend whiskey, by the way, I heard interesting thing. So to pick a sherry cask, which you also use often, you go to Spain to pick?
Yes, and actually many, many years ago, sherry wine was delivered in wood. Then after that, empty cask can be used for whiskey making. But now it was banned now. So very difficult to find good quality sherry casks. Then I go to the Spain first and the cooperage to make a brand new Spanish oak cask.
Right.
Then we bring them to the bodega. Bodega is a sherry wine, sherry winery to season the cask with a sherry wine. 3 years later, dumping out and the empty cask is going to Japan.
Wow.
It takes a long years to get a good sherry cask.
Wow. So that's the quality you're creating. Okay. And so when you blend whiskey, what's your objective and how do you evaluate the taste?
So as a blender, we need to maintain the existing brand. And also sometimes we have to create a new product. So blending technique is very important to achieve the individual targeting flavors.
So you set the goal depending on the market and also as a standard taste of Suntory.
Yes. So some of our brand has a very long history. So, yes, we have a recipe year to year, but in order to meet that same quality, we have to change that recipe because whiskey itself is changing. And also consumers' preference is also changing, always to meet that target flavors.
Right, and each ingredient changes depending on the everything.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like a moving target.
Yes.
But well, I'm just curious, how do you... You know, to maintain your senses, you know, like you have to stay healthy, you don't go out, some kind of maintenance.
Okay, actually, you know, to keep that the same condition, it's quite important. Not only my physical condition, but also the atmosphere that our blending room as well. So that's why I don't eat garlic, for example. Sunday night to Friday lunch to maintain my palate.
Wow. Okay. And I heard that you get up early because you have to commute from Osaka to Tokyo often. So
yes.
You get up very early every day so that you don't have to adjust the
Yes, schedule. And if I have a meeting in Tokyo, but I would like to get up same time. So as early as possible, that, you know, allow me to that all at the same time, but I can arrive anywhere, even my office in Tokyo and other.
So really that changes, that maintains your senses too.
Yeah, as well, yes.
Right, wow, that's a discipline. amazing. Okay. So what is the most challenging thing in the process of blending?
Challenging things? Yeah, actually, we have a lot of blending techniques, but keep the same quality or develop a new characteristic. It's quite a challenging job.
But, you know, like out of all those selections that you have, you can choose from many things, but, you know, you want to get this taste, but you cannot find right the ingredient.
Yeah, yeah.
So does it happen often?
Yes, and not only blending technique, sometimes we are looking for the something different character of whiskey in our stock, which are million casks, you know.
Right. Okay, and so you have, you said you have three distilleries, right? Where are they?
Yamazaki near Kyoto, the first malt distillery in Japan. And 50 years later, we built a second malt distillery in 1973 in Hakushu. Hakushu is at the foot of Japan's Southern Alps. It's a very high mountains. So climate is totally different from Yamazaki.
Right.
And the third is at the Chita Grain Distillery. It's near Nagoya City, on the seaside of Chita Peninsula.
Okay, so each one has different brands to produce?
Yes, but Yamazaki and Hakushu is more to distilleries, but Chita is a grain distillery.
Okay, right. Okay, and so what kind of environment does each distillery have?
Okay, Yamazaki, it's a quite... Yeah, it's a hot summer and cold winter as general, but even in winter, it's quite humid because three different rivers come together near to Yamazaki Distillery. They make one river, but each river has a different temperature. So it's very easy to make a mist, very humid, saturated.
Right. So which is good for whiskey because...
Whiskey maturation is maybe milder whiskey, can be matured. Hakushu, at the foot of high mountains, very, very cold winter.
Right.
And the water itself very soft. And the distillery is placed in the forest, deep forest.
I heard it's a part of next to the bird sanctuary or something.
Yeah, that's right. Then deep forest and soft water and cold winter, the spirits a bit of a crisp and light type compared with Yamazaki.
Wow, interesting. So, it must be very hard to pick the right place to build a distillery in Japan. So, Suntory really succeeded.
Yeah. We are very lucky.
Right. And can our listeners visit the distilleries?
Yes, and we have a reception center, both Yamazaki and Hakushu. But recently, a lot of visitors are coming, so you need to booking in advance.
Okay, right. So you can see the facility and do tasting. And
yes, yes. Right, you can enjoy that.
Okay, so I think there is a link on the website, so I'll put the link on the show page. But the Suntory distilleries, and if you look up, then you can find it.
Yes,
right. Easy. Okay, and so now, what's the best way to taste Japanese whiskey?
Best way to taste, yes. It depends on your preferences, but I recommend that drink whiskey, changing at temperature with ice or neat, or changing the strength of alcohol, neat, half and half, even much lighter alcohol. But recently, we recommend whiskey with soda, we call it highball, in particular, and Hakushu. The Kakubin in Japanese standard whiskey, or Toki launched very recently in United States market. This kind of lighter, fresh whiskey is very good combination with soda highball.
Right, highball became a huge boom in Japan.
Yes, very much.
Right, like several years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, like one bowl, two bowl, three bowls. That's people like calling it. It's really good and light and easy too.
And also in Japan, it's very common practice eating with drinking whiskey.
Oh, right.
So highball is very much good combination with meals as well.
Well, isn't it only with highball though? I don't think, like, you know, my father used to drink a lot of whiskeys, but I never had it with food. But highball, I think it's possible.
Yes. So nowadays that quite same as the beer or highball, very popular. Izakaya style.
Right, and you can control the alcohol level.
Yes.
To your liking, so that's great. And so, by the way, neat means straight.
Yep.
But I think in Japan, often you suggested to add some water. So is it unique in Japan?
Yes, probably. Even spirit as shochu, where we have a traditional spirit shochu, but the shochu spirit, but the alcohol strength maybe 25 or 30, something like that. Not so high.
Right.
And sake, 15, 17%. And wine, 12, and the beer, 5, 4. So strong spirits is not Japanese. Meets a Japanese palate, I think.
Right. They don't do shot too much.
But now there's a lot of lovers, whiskey lovers as well. They enjoy the locks and nida.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So by adding a little bit of, you know, some drops of water, what happens?
Okay. And a lot and aromas compound, dissolved in the whiskey. But after adding the water, it's coming out from whiskey. So what can I say? Aroma is much open to that, your note.
Right. So it's not a dilution, it's kind of waking up the flavor.
Yeah, something like that.
So you suggest a couple drops of water to
First at 1 spoon. If it's not enough, second spoon, third, then you can find that the best dilution for yourself. But from blender's point of view, we usually adjust the alcohol strength about 20 or 25%, which shows that every flavor is good or bad. Sometimes we need to find that the bad flavor as well, not a good one.
Right, to fix it.
Yeah.
Right. So that means 20, 25 means almost half.
Yeah.
You add the half of, that's the same amount of water that I did it.
I think so.
So we shouldn't do it. Stop before that. Right. Okay, so do you have any tips to enjoy the flavor of Japanese whiskey that's subtle and refined yet complex?
Yeah, but in particular, as I said before, so dynamic climate changing accelerated maturation, so you can easily find that woodiness from Japanese whiskey.
Okay, right. So do you just tasting like rolls and the swirl and all those things and what kind of glasses. And it's a, you know, the whiskey glass. And then...
Yes, it's glass good for nosing, tasting as my job. But to enjoy, which kind of glass is all right.
Well, I like using... I have a very special gift, Hibiki. And a wine glass, stemless. And that really opens up the smell.
Yeah, and easy to swirling. Rounding.
Right. So you can really choose, pick and choose different kind of vessels, glasses. Great. And do you have any pairing suggestions with whiskey?
Pairing suggestions. Whiskey is that spirit, good for the oily disease. And also smoky. Woody is a meat that is also spice. It's kind of that. This is a bee.
Right. So you can stand up to each other. It's not overwhelmed by the other person, other partner. Okay. Okay. And so why do you think Japanese whiskey has become so popular?
To be honest, I don't know. We focus on the domestic market first. But according to that, become better, high quality, it works through the world.
Right. Yeah, I think people started to look for higher quality.
Yes.
Right, the information, education, and experience by traveling and going to, you know, local places and experience the real thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so you recently released, you mentioned earlier, the new whiskey called Toki. So what is it?
Toki is a new brand and much more, what can I say, not so much woodiness. Very well matured spirit, you can enjoy very clean, very refreshing whiskey.
So I heard it's just the scent of grapefruit and green apple,
yep,
and some peppermint.
Right. It's a quite subtle blended whiskey.
So do you use it for, you know, something like highball or?
Yes, cocktails? Highball is one of the best style to drink toki.
Nice. I have to try that.
Yes, please.
Right. And so how do you describe the difference between the whiskey culture between Japan and the U.S.?
U.S. much more cocktail culture. Even whiskey is used for the cocktail. So flexible is another point to develop a toki product.
Okay. So, and also, you know, famously, Japanese bars are more authentic and quieter.
Yep.
And separate from like restaurants, establishment.
Yeah.
So that may affect your style of whiskey to make.
Yes. That style, you know, more understand the whiskey itself. So that's why, you know, we don't have to change our approach, but much more quality wise. We would like to pay attention much higher quality.
Right. Okay. And so what is your plan for the future?
For future? Okay. I would like to keep the tradition and also make an innovation. Even not even old technique, if it works better, we would like to introduce. And also we have to innovate new approach, like a different type of cereals or a different type of wood. Yeah, a lot of things to do.
Right. Interesting. Because tradition is kind of binding and you are tempted to be bound, right? Yeah. Because it's beautiful, it's established, but unless you innovate it, it doesn't probably last. So,
So approach is a lot of things, but so good quality, tasty is the most important.
Right. I'm curious, do you have any new, you know, wood or barrels, for instance?
Yeah, couple, last 10 years, we also introduced a wine cask and also cedar wood on the head, for example. It's quite strong flavor. We use a very small amount of cedar cask whiskey for our brand.
Sounds very Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, well, good luck.
Thank you.
Please keep us posted.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, in the film, Lost in Translation, Bill Murray said, for relaxing times, make it Suntory time.
Good.
So, let's make it Suntory time. Right. So thank you for joining us today, Shinji.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so listeners, if you would like to know more about Shinji's whiskey, please visit suntory.com/brands. That's suntory.com/brands. And if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for guests or topics of the show, please contact us, japaneats@theheritagerunionnetwork.org and kikukatayama.com. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at theheritagerunionnetwork.org and iTunes and Stitcher as a podcast. And please go to iTunes and Stitcher and write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. And our engineer today is Peter Hirsch. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.